जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जनवल्लभा गिरिवारधारी, जय गोपी जनवल्लभा गिरिवारधारी, यशोधनन्दना ब्रजजनरञ्जना, यशोधनन्दना ब्रजजनरञ्जना, यमुनतीरवनचारी, यमुनतीरवनचारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी. Jai Hare Krishna. Good morning. Today's a special day because we get to read Srimad Bhagavatam together. It's also the appearance day of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. And so see if I can try to speak on both subject matters in the time we have. Verse for today is Canto 3, Chapter 14, text number 9. Ishtvagni jivam payasa. Ishtvagni jivam payasa. Purusham yajusham patim. Purusham yajusham patim. Nimlo chatyarka asinam. Nimlo chatyarka asinam. Agnyargar Agnyar gare samahitam. Agyaghare samahitam. Ishtvagni jivam payasa. Purusham yajusam patim. Nimlo chatyarka asinam. Agnyaghare samahitam. Ask if any of the older devotees or adults in the room would like to chant. Asinam. Yaghari samahitam. Maybe the students. Istvagni jivam payasa. Sham yaju sampatim. Okay, word for word. Ishtva. After worshipping. Agni. Fire. Jivam. Tongue. Payasa. By oblation. Purusham. Unto the Supreme Person. Yajusam. Of all sacrifices. Patim. Master. Nimlochati. While setting. Arke. The sun. Asinam. Sitting. Agni Agare. Agare. In the sacrificial hall. Samahitam. Completely in trance. The sun was setting and the sage was sitting in trance after offering oblations to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, whose tongue is the sacrificial fire. Purport. Fire is considered to be the tongue of the personality of Godhead Vishnu, and oblations of grains and clarified butter offered to the fire are thus accepted by him. That is the principle of all sacrifices, of which Lord Vishnu is the master. In other words, the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu includes the satisfaction of all demigods and other living beings. Om Jnana Timurandasya Giranjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Vadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tsunamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pasyatya Deshadarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gauravaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Panchakalpa Drubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So really brief context. This is speaking of, this chapter is the prelude to the birth of Hiranyakashipu. And this is speaking about his father, who was actually a sage, and what he was doing. I wanted to start with a small anecdote. that happened yesterday evening. And I was on Tuesday evenings. I do a little bit of pujari service here. And I ran into Mother Sri Gurangi, who just walks in the door. Good timing. And she was saying to me yesterday, "Oh, you're giving class tomorrow. Have you prepared what you're going to say?" And I was thinking, yeah, it's Narottam Das Thakur's appearance day, and there's so much you can say. There's so many things to talk about him. There's a whole volumes of books about his life. Maybe I'll just touch on the Bhagavatam verse or just read it and move on. As it is, I was struggling to find a little meaning in this verse. I thought it was a little short. What's it trying to say? And then she told me, but it's good, it's important, we all always honor the Bhagavatam verse, even if there is no purport. And we choose to speak on another subject matter or about a personality whose appearance day it is. And then I was thinking about that, and I was doing the service on the altar, and I was feeling distant from the Bhagavatam. I felt like, oh, there's so many passages or verses that seem almost as if they're filling up to something that has more length to it, or something that's easier to understand, or to a pastime that's perhaps in my head, I would say, more important. And so I felt distant in this way, and I was praying to Lord Nityananda. I was saying, oh, please help me feel a little more connected to Bhagavatam. I feel distant. I feel like maybe my faith is not as strong as it should be, especially if I'm given the task to speak on it and to glorify the Bhagavatam, glorify the book and this verse. And literally, like, a few minutes later, I hear a voice from behind the altar, and it's a devotee reading. And I don't know what he's reading at first. And it's just, he's reading loudly. And he's reading an excerpt from one of Prabhupada's letters, or something Srila Prabhupada said, and then he keeps reading. And I quickly realize, oh, he's reading from Lilamrita. And so I poke my head out, and it's just one devotee sitting in front of Srila Prabhupada with a book open, reading out loud, nobody in the temple room. And the only people that I could hear is people behind the altar, of course, Srila Prabhupada and the deities. So I was doing the service and hearing, and it really was so amazing what he was saying. And it was just the answer that I needed at that moment. So I wanted to share with you the section of Lilamrita that he was reading, and maybe it would give you a little renewed faith in Bhagavatam and Srila Prabhupada's endeavors, and it did for me. Writing was only half the battle. The other half was publishing. Both Bhaktivedanta Swami and his spiritual master wanted to see Srimad Bhagavatam printed in English and distributed widely. According to the teachings of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the most modern methods of printing and distributing books should be used to spread Krishna consciousness. Although many books of Vaishnava wisdom had already been perfectly presented by Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and Jiva Goswami, the manuscripts now sat deteriorating in the Radhadamodar temple and other locations, and even the Gaudiya Mutt's printings of the Goswami's works were not being distributed widely. One of Bhaktivedanta Swami's godbrothers asked him why he was spending so much time and effort trying to make a new commentary on the Bhagavatam, since so many great acharyas had already commented upon it. But in Bhaktivedanta Swami's mind, there was no question. His spiritual master had given him an order. Commercial publishers, however, were not interested in the 60-volume Bhagavatam series, and Bhaktivedanta Swami was not interested in anything less than a 60-volume parampara presentation of verses, synonyms, and purports based on the commentaries of the previous acharyas. But to publish such books, he would have to raise private donations and publish at his own expense. Radhadamodar Temple may have been the best place for writing Srimad Bhagavatam, but not for printing and publishing it. For that, he would have to go to New Delhi. It's an amazing. I was just sitting there thinking, wow, this is literally exactly what I needed to hear. And he continued about all the challenges Srila Prabhupada would go through just to print Bhagavatam. And the first printing was just he had enough rupees for a few reams of paper. And he would go again and again to the publisher. He had to move from Vrindavan to Delhi. And if you've been to Delhi, it's such a busy, chaotic city. And there's already a heart patient. It was said to meet a donor, He had to travel 475 miles to Gorakhpur, which meant to train, to bus, to rickshaw, and he kept accounts of every single thing he did. You know, he would say, on August 8th, 1962, traveled for Gorakhpur. By the time I reached Lucknow, it was 57 rupees. Lucknow to Gorakhpur, another 6 rupees. Then the rickshaw to the home cost 8 paisa. And he kept every account because every penny was so important to him. Everything was so valuable. And then he would estimate the cost of one volume would be a certain amount of rupees. And he only had half of that. So he would go door to door in Delhi. And he would knock on each door and ask people, please, a little, just a few rupees to print this book. Just a few rupees. And his godbrothers would ask, why? There's already Bhagavatam out there. Why do you want this expansive volume with every verse, synonyms, even the ones that may not seem like important verses, purports? And that really struck me. I thought the same thing. It was, maybe we just skip to the more well-known sections. Why these verses that don't seem to have as much in them or aren't recited as often? But for Srila Prabhupada, everything was Srimad Bhagavatam. Every single verse was just as important as the other ones. And he wanted to do this expansive, full volume. And it's amazing if you see his room. It's this tiny, tiny, tiny little room. Maybe it can fit 6 people sitting down in Radha Damodar Temple. But he became, perhaps, one of the most published authors in human history from this small little room, writing Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's so much faith. There's so much faith in this book. And so it really struck me hearing that last night. The devotee sat there and just read for 45 minutes to Srila Prabhupada, his own lila, and I really, really appreciated. So then when I looked at this verse again after that, I was able to come up with a little bit of something to say. I realized that a lot of Srimad Bhagavatam is interconnected. So you'll see one story repeat itself in different places. You know, here we're talking about what's the prelude to Hiranyakashipu. And then there's a whole canto of Hiranyakashipu that comes later. And then he's mentioned again in different parts of the Bhagavatam. So in the same way, Prabhupada, he takes different scenarios, he takes different pastimes, and he makes the same points again and again in this purport. And he's using different examples to drive the same point home. So what's being spoken about here is that there's Kashyapa, this Muni, and he's offering oblations. He's doing a yajna. And he's doing it for Lord Vishnu. And this is so important because Srila Prabhupada states here, the principle of all sacrifices is Lord Vishnu is a master. And then every sacrifice that's done to Lord Vishnu ultimately pleases every other demigod and every other living being. And there's a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam that says, as pouring water on the root of a tree energizes the trunk, the branches, the twigs, everything else, and as supplying food to the stomach enlivens the senses and limbs of the body, simply worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead through devotional service automatically satisfies the demigods who are parts of that Supreme Personality. So I guess I wanted to pose a question to begin is, what brings satisfaction? What are your thoughts? What brings actual satisfaction? Anyone have ideas? What makes you feel satisfied? And there's a right devotee answer, and then there's a maybe an answer that's true to you. What makes you feel satisfied? Go ahead. Okay, I'm speaking to devotees. Krishna, what else? Eating after being hungry for a long time. Yes, okay. Satiating hunger. What else? Bhakti. Bhakti makes us happy. What else? Jai Radhe. When we do things for others. When we do things for others, that makes us happy. What else? Money. Money brings satisfaction. Money brings, yes, it's true. You can laugh, but come on. Money brings goods, services. What else? When you squish what?
Orbeez.
Maybe I'm too old to know what that is. I'll take 2 more here. Playing video games, now we're talking. Yeah. Helping other people, yes. Okay, so a lot of answers. So this is what Bhagavatam is stating. What actually brings satisfaction? Because I mean, speaking to devotees, a lot of these answers are kind of being answered here. But it's saying by watering the root of the tree. So if we're the root of the tree, if this is the Krishna tree, and from Krishna emanates everything else. He says, I am the source of everything spiritual and material. He makes this bold statement in Bhagavad Gita. So that means the branches, the twigs, the leaves of a root, everything becomes nourished. If I just put water on a leaf and just put water on a branch, if I spray the leaf of a tree, it glistens for a little bit. It looks nice. But as the sun comes and it dries out, it doesn't absorb much water. But if I water the tree, if I water the root of the plant, actually it absorbs that water over time and it holds a lot longer. So it's saying this here, actually, because everyone and everything is part of Krishna, naturally. Prabhupada uses this term, part and parcel. It kind of means the same thing, part and parcel. And it's a phrase that really emphasizes, yes, it's part. We are part of Krishna. We come from Krishna. So if we satisfy ourselves without satisfying Krishna, do we really receive long-term satisfaction? You would probably say, well, probably not, because then you have to keep, the idea is you keep finding new and new satisfaction. Right now, maybe squishing one of those squishy balls feels good, but then you get a little older, maybe something else feels good, and then maybe the satisfaction of money satisfies you in one way when you're younger and you can buy a new video game or you can get a cool toy, but when you're older, maybe the satisfaction of money is a little bit different. It's for different things, different desires. But the desires will keep coming again and again and again. And Buddha has this very, very well-known phrase, and he says, desire is the root of suffering. Because the more desires we have, the more we have to try to fulfill that, try to water those desires. But they keep growing, and then there's more and more. But what if you just water the root? What if you just please the source of who we come from? And therefore, Krishna says, by pleasing me, that's the principle here. In a yajna, by you offer oblations to Vishnu. So in our yajna, in this age of Kali, when it's not so much doing fire sacrifices, but it's more chanting the holy name, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, these activities, then actually the soul becomes pleased and we start to feel more long-lasting happiness because we please Krishna. And so that's one of the main points here. Srila Prabhupada would give this example of a pinky, and that the pinky is part of the hand, right? And the pinky only functions because it's connected to the hand, which is connected to the body. But a pinky on its own is just a small finger. It really has no use, right? But because it's part of the hand, it's interconnected with all these fingers, then I can pick up things, I can use things, and you don't realize how maybe important it is until you injure it. I sprained my pinky a few months ago playing basketball, and then all of a sudden, any activity is just so difficult because it's interconnected, right? So the same way, because we're all interconnected with Krishna, that if we try to satisfy ourselves separately, it's like a pinky separated from a hand. There's just not so much use, so much value. But if you think about the whole picture and connect it with everything else, then it makes a lot of sense. So that's just a little bit I wanted to speak on this Bhagavatam verse. And for those who are still here, we'll move on to the topic of Narottam Das Thakur. Today is the appearance day of Narottam Das Thakur. Quick show of hands, who has heard who Narottam Das Thakur is? Okay, so a few people. Narottam Das Thakur is a really interesting, very special personality. And since today is his appearance, I think a lot of what makes him so unique is understanding his origin story, so to say. Narottam Das Thakur, his story, you have to start during Lord Chaitanya's Leela, because Lord Chaitanya predicted and he set the scene for the appearance of Narottam Das Thakur. So when Lord Chaitanya was traveling through Ramakeli, each night he would have really big kirtans, very big festivals, and these ecstatic, wonderful kirtans would attract hundreds and thousands of people, and it was just a very wonderful grand event. And one day he was facing with his associates and Lord Nityananda this river called the Padma River. And as he was facing the river, He started to call in a very loud voice, and his body was trembling, and tears were flowing from his eyes, and he was saying, "Narottam, Narottam, Narottam." And everyone was looking at him, shocked. There's probably a Narottam here. And everyone was looking at him, shocked, and they were saying, who are you calling to? And he kept calling, "Narottam, Narottam," and he kept looking at the river. And the Lord Nityananda understand that someone must be coming. And so the next morning, Lord Chaitanya went to this river, and he bathed in the Padma River. And the river began to overflood with Lord Chaitanya's body entering the water. The waves started coming up. It started to swirl and shake. And so the goddess of the river, Padmavati, she came. She offered her obeisances. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took his own prema, his own love, the greatest prema that's there, the actual loving feelings and prema of Srimati Radharani that is experienced by Krishna in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He took this prema and gave it to the goddess of the river and deposited it into the river and said, "Please, there will be a great personality by the name of Narottam who will come. He'll come to this river and take this prema and please deliver it unto him. This is from me to him, and he will be this wonderful devotee that will carry on the Sankirtan movement." And so she said, how will I know who Narottam is? And he said, "Just as I've come and I've caused this great tumultuous uproar in your river, and your waters have trembled and separated, and great waves have come. In the same way, when he enters the water, the same thing will happen." And then he told Lord Nityananda that when this scenario takes place, and when the time is right, because you are Lord Nitai, you are the guru of the universe, you are the original guru, the Adi Guru, please take Narottam to the river and bring him to the point of where he can receive Krishna Prema, because that is ultimately the responsibility of the guru. So around the time that Lord Chaitanya had passed away, or I should not say passed away, had left this world, was around the same time that Narottam was born. And it said when he was born, an astrologer came and he did the calculations of his astrology and planets and saw that his life was very auspicious. And he would be a very, very great saint. He would do so much good for the world. And so he called him Narottam, which means topmost person or topmost man. This is Narottam. And so he also made another prediction. He said, it shows in his horoscope that if he goes near the river, something dangerous might happen. There's very strong signs about him going to a river. So I suggest you keep him away from rivers as much as possible. And his parents were royalty, and he was the only son. And so they wanted him to become the king, naturally. And so they're really worried that something would happen and the heir to the throne would be gone. And so they did everything in his power to keep him away from the river. They had guards. You know, his father even dug a pond in his own palace and brought water from the river to the pond and said, "You don't have to go swim there, just swim here instead." But Narottam was really eager to go to this river somehow or another. And he was really eager for one thing. He wasn't interested in becoming the prince. He wasn't interested in school. He just wanted to hear the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya day and night, and constantly hear the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And he would hear them, and he would hear about all these devotees the Mahaprabhu associated with, and ask, is so-and-so still here? Is so-and-so still here? No, Narottam, they just left. They just left this world. Mahaprabhu just left this planet. And he was so saddened, but eager at the same time. There was so much separation to meet these personalities. And one night, Nityananda Prabhu came to him in a dream, and he said, "Okay, now is the time. Now is the time. The reason this river is so important is because Lord Chaitanya has given you a gift that's waiting at this river. Please, please go." So he snuck out at night, and he went to the river. And as he bathed, what happened was exactly what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had predicted. The water started to tremble, started to overflood, and Mahaprabhu appeared and embraced Narottam And he gave to him personally, directly, his own prema bhakti, his own love of Godhead from his heart to Lord or to Narottam Das Thakur. So special. Literally just gave it to him. Here, continue on. You're here to continue on the Sankirtan movement. So I am giving you right now and implanting in you my prema bhakti. And when Narottam came out of the water, he was a different person. He was completely transformed. And his only desire was to go to Vrindavan. And the story continues that way. So I'm saying the origin story for a reason. Because one of Narottam Das Thakur's his greatest contributions are his songs. Does anyone know or can recall any of the songs of Narottam Das Thakur? Any guesses? Any songs of Narottam Das Thakur? I see a hand here. Jayanila Premadanna, yes. Any others? Guru Puja, yes. Yes, Guru Vandanam. Any others? Any other thoughts? What do you think? Guru Arti's Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but also a very important song. Yeah. Hari Hari Vipale. Yeah, nice. It's true. And I was in Vrindavan last year, and there's this temple in Vrindavan that's a little bit less known, but it's becoming more well known. And it's a temple that has one of the deities installed and worshipped by Narottam Das Thakur. It's called the Radha Braj Mohan Temple, and it's kind of in a little bit of the outskirts of Vrindavan town. And it's very beautiful. And the deities are very old, and they're worshipped personally by Narottam Das Thakur. And there is a sadhu there who's been worshipping these deities and takes care of the temple for many years. An older Bengali sadhu, and I don't speak much Hindi or Bengali, but I like him very much, and I like going there, so I would go pretty often. And I always wanted to speak to him more than just, hi, hello, what's your name, where are you from? So one day I formulated in my head how to ask a question in Hindi. And so I figured, oh, he's a devotee of Narottam Das Thakur. And Narottam Das Thakur is known for his songs. So I asked him, I said, in what mood, in what bhava should I practice bhakti? In what mood and bhava should I practice? Should I do kirtan? And I was expecting a long answer. And he just said, just read Narottam Das Thakur's Prema Bhakti Chandrika. Everything is there. And so I kind of felt a little disappointed. Like, oh, that's it? Expected a little bit more. And so I went back home that evening, and I told one of my friends. And he goes, oh, that's such an amazing answer. Oh, that's so deep. That's amazing. I'm like, well, what do you mean? He didn't really say anything. He goes, that's an incredible answer. And I still didn't understand it. And then I came across this story later on, and Gaurakishore Das Babaji apparently would always carry with him two books, and they're the two books of Narottam Das Thakur's poetry, Prema Bhakti Chandrika and Prarthana. And once one devotee asked him, how can I attain love of Godhead? And he goes, it's so easy, it only costs 2 rupees. I said, what do you mean? It only costs 2 rupees. I don't get it. I want love of Godhead. I can't buy that with 2 rupees. Yeah, it only costs 2 rupees. He said, just go to the market, and 1 rupee for Prema Bhakti Chandrika, and 1 rupee would purchase the book Prarthana. You read this every day, you meditate on the songs every day, and that's it. You attain love of Godhead. And this is the power of these bhajans. And the reason that's true, it's not just a hyperbole statement, is because you look at the life of Narottam Das Thakur, you look at what he was given. He was given Lord Chaitanya's Mahabhava, his prema, directly from Lord Chaitanya's heart. As he embraced Narottam Das Thakur and said, here, this is for you, now spread it to the world. And how did he spread it to the world? It was actually through these songs. He took the essence of all Vedic literature, the essence of all Krishna bhakti, and he would put it in these 4-verse songs, which is really just colloquial, simple Bengali language, so that everybody in the area could understand. But each one contains so much meaning. It contains so much depth to it that you can study it again and again. And not only that, he poured his feelings into it. He poured his heart into it. He poured the same feelings that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had and Mahaprabhu gave to him. And he took this and he put it in these songs, like little treasure houses, little treasure chests for eternity. And I wanted to go through, I know we don't have so much time, but I thought maybe just to go through the translation of this song, Hari Hari Bifale. Can we scroll down just a little bit to the translation? Okay, is that large enough for all of you to read? No? Yes? Okay. Let's read it together. Okay, ready? O Lord Hari, I have spent my life uselessly, having obtained a human... I can't see. I have knowingly drunk poison. The treasure of divine love in Goloka Vrindavan has descended as the congregational chanting of Lord Hari's name. Why did my attraction for that chanting never come about? Day and night, my heart burns from the fire of the poison of worldliness, and I have not taken the means to relieve it. Lord Krishna, who is the son of the king of Raja, became the son of Sachi, Lord Chaitanya, and Balaram became Nitai. The holy name delivered all those souls who were lowly and wretched. The two sinners, Jagai and Madai, are evidence of this. O Lord Krishna, son of Nanda, accompanied by the daughter of Rishabhanu, please be merciful to me now. Narottam Das says, O Lord, please do not push me away from your reddish lotus feet, for who is my beloved except for you? What feelings do you think he's trying to convey through this song? What emotions do you feel he's trying to convey? He's attached, he's very attached to Krishna, definitely. What other emotions do you feel coming from this song? Anyone else? Yeah. Sadness, regret, and humility. Yes, it's true. Those feelings are there as well. Take one more. Anybody else? It's a bit of a lament. It's a bit of a lament. It's true. It's a bit of a lament. You'll see a lot of his songs have feelings of separation, lamentation, but they also have a lot of feelings of dependence. Whenever there's this sadness or lamenting or humility, it's always accompanied by Krishna, I depend on you. Like this last line here. Please do not push me away from your reddish lotus feet, for who is my beloved except for you? He depends on Krishna solely, and this is the main idea that he's trying to convey. And if you look at any great acharya, really they take these songs so seriously. And Srila Prabhupada loved this song. Jamuna Devi had said in one of her anecdotes that she had heard him sing this four different occasions. On the last occasion, she was recording him with a microphone. And she said that she just saw Prabhupada's face just transformed. And that you could see it visibly, almost like his face was just trembling or melting a little bit. And he was so immersed in this song over and over again. And another time she said that either it was this song or another bhajan, that when Prabhupada was alone and there was nobody around, he would often sing these songs on a harmonium. This was just his internal meditation. And there was this one point where he would sing the first line of the bhajan 20, 30 times, again and again, so absorbed in it, just feeling the feelings that Narottam Das Thakur puts in this song. And that's the idea with these bhajans. You feel it again and again. The more you sing it, the feelings become real for you. And they actually become the actual bhava that you will feel. Sorry I took so long. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Thank you. I do want to just wrap up a little bit about this. I think the key to prayer, the key to Krishna consciousness, the key to our internal mood, the key to kirtan really comes from such bhajans of Narottam Das Thakur and Bhaktivinod Thakur. Kirtan has three main elements. Just technically speaking, there is a melody, there's, you know, or raga, melody, there's tala, rhythm. So generally there's always a tune and there's always a beat in a kirtan. But these are the surface level, the exterior of a kirtan, the shell of it. Inside, there's bhava. This is the most important element of a kirtan. It's raga, tala, and bhava. And bhava comes from those who have bhava. These feelings of dependence, separation, attraction, urgency, longing, we learn this from those who really have it. And these feelings are poured out again and again and again in these songs. It's really the key to a good kirtan, the key to learning how to chant properly. The secret, maybe the open secret, are these bhajans and the bhajans of Narottam Das Thakur. They're so important. And they infuse devotional life in whatever devotional practice we do, especially chanting of the Maha Mantra. They really go hand in hand. Srila Prabhupada once said, by reading the Narottam Das Thakur's Prarthana, we can understand Krishna very easily. Otherwise, it is very, very difficult to understand Krishna. So I think today is maybe a nice day that we can, in our own time, sing one of Narottam Das Thakur's bhajans and meditate a little bit further on their meanings. And just like if you see the same news over and over again, the feelings of that news, let's say it's a war or a famine or a forest fire, you start to feel the emotions. You start to maybe feel empathy for those going through the situation. You start to feel the sadness. It plays on your mind. In the same way, the more we associate with these songs, the more we associate with these bhajans, we start to feel what the author, Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, what they're trying to say, what they're trying to, where the place they're coming from to pray to Krishna. And prayer should always come from the real you, from our own actual selves. But in order to get to a point of praying where it's really coming from a deep place, we have to learn, we have to practice. Sure, it's there, but it might be a little dormant. And the more we practice by singing these songs, studying it together, reading them, hearing Srila Prabhupada sing these songs. He gave two purports to this bhajan and so many purports to many songs actually, because he knew the importance of them. And also he enjoyed them so much. And the more we go through it again and again and again, actually our prayers start to become transformed. And we start to become in line with the prayers of the acharyas and to think in the same way. So I'll wrap it there and see if there are any questions or comments on either subject matter. Mother Ekadasi.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I wanted to say thank you for the very nice class, and I really appreciated your point in the beginning about praying to the deities and just how you shared your experience, because I just think it's important. Mm. Sometimes we can forget, you know, we come all the time, we see them all the time, yeah. And it's easy to forget that we can pray to them and yeah. They reciprocate with us,
yeah.
You know, so, and you got immediate reciprocation. Yeah. Sometimes it's like that and sometimes it's not,
yeah.
But either way, it's yeah. Always very nice. So yeah, thank
yeah.
You.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, it's easy to forget, and they're right there listening, you know? They're so active. Thank you. Anybody else? Please. Sure, mic's coming.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the wonderful class.
You're welcome.
Do you know who Srila Narottam Das Thakur in Golok Vrindavan?
Yeah, it's stated, it's in a, when he was in Vrindavan after he had taken initiation from Lokanath Goswami, In his meditation, Radharani came to Narottam Das Thakur and said, your service, I don't know the details of the story so well, but said, your service in Goloka Vrindavan is boiling and churning milk and making milk preparations. And she said, this is under the direction of Champakalata Sakhi, so you are Champak Manjuri in the spiritual world. And when Lokanath Goswami heard about this, he confirmed that, yeah, this is actually true.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, I guess we'll wrap it there. Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Narottam Das Thakur Ki, Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki, Jai.